This is Business by the Bay, here to discuss challenges businesses face and possible solutions. Your host, Ajay Sani.
Good morning and welcome everyone to Business by the Bay, where we talk to successful business leaders and discuss various challenges businesses face and possible solutions. So I'm Ajay and today's show is sponsored by Payroll Vault. It is a boutique-style local payroll service provider for small businesses. Payroll Vault fully handles the payroll tasks and take over complex payroll activity from the business owners, and they are also helping qualified businesses get ERTC, Employee Retention Tax Credit. The credit is up to $5,000 per employee for 2020 and up to $7,000 per employee per quarter for the first three quarters of 2021. So there is still time. And for details, please call Payroll Vault at 925-273-7020. 925-273-7020. Today, I'm extremely excited to have with me Deborah Finestone. She is a certified social media manager with 7 years of experience. She helps small businesses and nonprofits stop wasting time on social media and end the stress and confusion around it. She partners with her clients to come up with a plan and create content so they can reach more people, they can help and have a bigger impact. How are you doing today, Deborah?
I'm doing good. Very happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm looking forward to our conversation. So, Deborah, we may have a great product or service to offer, but in order to succeed in a business, effective marketing is extremely critical. And you are helping businesses reach their target market. So what all you do in the marketing space?
Sure. Something I see a lot of, and it breaks my heart really, is when you find someone who's really good at what they do, or they have a really cool product, it's a great idea, it can help a lot of people, and nobody knows about it. You never want to be the best kept secret when it comes to business. So a lot of what I do is helping people in one particular way, social media, get the word out there, make more people aware that they exist, what they do, and that they're really good at it. Part of it's knowing the most, you know, if you're working with a coach or consultant, someone who's got a lot of experience, but it's also personality. It's someone you want to be working with, someone you want to be supporting or buying something from. And so I help a business get all of that information out there so they can find more people who want to work with them, who want to buy what they have, want to support them.
Very good. So businesses, you know, especially small and self-funded, are very budget conscious, especially in the beginning. And what can they do to ensure that they don't underspend and, you know, fail to get any traction, like what you just said, you know, be a best kept secret, or in some cases, overspend and risk getting out of business?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's one I feel like a lot do struggle with for sure. I mean, no one wants to overspend, of course. No one wants to. I think the first thing is to change the vocabulary, because it changes the mindset. It's not about spending, it's about investing. But you still don't want to overinvest in the wrong things. But you do need to invest in your business and in its growth and in its success. So one of the things I end up talking to a lot of people about, if they're thinking about working with me, or question that comes up is, what's your marketing budget? And I can't tell you how many people like put their hands up and, oh, I don't know, haven't really come up with a budget. And so that's the first thing, is simply come up with a budget. If you've done this already, great. You're one step ahead of a lot of small businesses, but a lot don't really think about, like I said, what can they invest in their marketing, in getting the word out so that they can grow. And unfortunately, this is one of those chicken and the egg problems. It's, you have to invest in marketing to get your name out there, to grow the business so that you have revenue to invest in marketing to get your name out there when you're starting out or when you're small. Later, you already have that cycle going. So that's the first thing, is that, okay, I need to come up with a marketing budget. How do I do that? Real simple way is a percentage of your revenue. Come up with something. I would say the more you want to grow, the more you need to invest in your marketing. You know, if you want to, you know, maybe it's, if you're like, okay, I'm okay where I am, I just need to grow a little bit, I'll put 5 or 10% of what the revenue I made last year into my marketing. If you want to double your business, it probably has to be more than that. And then for me, like I said, I do social media marketing. It's not the only kind of marketing. It's not, it shouldn't be the only kind of marketing, actually. And so then you break down that piece. Okay, so this is my budget for all of my marketing, and what piece do I have to spend on social media or whatever pieces you're using? And actually, I was in a training program, a workshop earlier this week, and marketing strategist shared a really good idea. Like when people ask her, you know, what should I do for my marketing? Her answer is pick two. So one thing that you're doing now that's working, keep doing that.
Right.
and one thing new, one thing that's a little different? And what do you think is going to be best for the people you're trying to reach? And I think that's a really key point. A lot of times we end up thinking about what's best or what's easiest or what feels safest for me, but you're much better off. You have a much bigger chance of growth if you can actually think about it from the perspective of the people you're trying to reach, that you want to work with, that you want to serve. So for example, I run into a lot of people who don't really want to be seen. They like being behind the scenes. So social media is really scary. But if you think that the people you want to help or you want to connect with are on social media, then you need to be brave about it. It's just courage sometimes. And that could be anything, whether that's a website's a little bit bigger investment, but same thing. Email marketing, referral marketing, you and I both belong to different networks, getting out there and doing it. Some people are really shy and that's really hard. You need to decide what you're willing to do to grow your business. And a lot of that comes from thinking about not trying to grow your business, but like if you want to help people, if you know that you have a skill and a knowledge that can help more people, for a lot of people, that's the thing. Like, I want to help more people. So I will do the thing that scares me. I will do the thing that feels hard. And when you start doing the thing that feels hard or scares you, it tends to get easier and it tends to be less scary.
Right. So we were talking about the budget, which you addressed, and you also added. So what I am getting out of this is that at times, people are worried about not only the budget, but also when it comes to, okay, these are a couple of things that we need to do. And in that, it comes also the comfort feeling that, okay, even if I'm spending the money, I'm supposed to do something. I need to be in front of camera, or I need to have a video or something, that the messages I'm delivering. In that also, the business owners get nervous.
Right. So the other thing you have to think about there, and it's so true, and I realize there's a point I kind of strayed from the answer there, but it's not just about investing money. It's about investing time.
Yeah.
And if you want your business to grow faster, then sometimes it takes a little bit more of that upfront, either time or money or both, quite frankly. So it is just of starting with the goal in mind, you know, what do you want it to do? And if the answer is, oh, this is kind of a hobby, it's a side business. If I make 10 sales this year, I'll be happy. Great. Mm-hmm. Do that. If it's, I want to make this a full-time business, quit my day job, and 5 years from now, retire my spouse so they can stay home with the kids, or we can go on vacations more. But that's a whole different thing.
Right.
You know, that's, you've got to put more into the game, both of the work, but also of the marketing. Because again, if you can be the greatest thing, and if nobody knows it, you're not going to have much of a business.
Exactly. So how do you create a marketing plan for your clients and sort of make sure that they get a good ROI?
Sure, definitely. And this is a really big issue with social media. So I'm actually glad you asked. Or a big question a lot of people have. So when I start working with a client, it does start with what are those goals? And then coming up with a strategy that you can reverse engineer to get to those goals. So if someone wants to, if it's selling more product, if it's getting the phone, you know, on their website, if it's getting the phone to ring, you know, it's a little bit different for everybody. Then we backtrack to what are the best strategies and tactics in social media in order to do that, in order to get people to do that. A lot of times they're the same things. It has to do with what are things we can do that'll help people get to know you, get to understand and trust you that you are the expert in what you do, and just plain like you. Like I said, you know, we all want to work with people we like, and we all want to support people we like. And so the ROI piece there is, what are the goals? And it's the, do you want more website traffic? Do you want more click-throughs? Do you want more phone calls booked? Do you have a scheduling tool? Do you want whatever else it might be? There's a handful of other things. And you go from those, and this is a big marketing term, key performance indicators. And that's what you target. Those are your goals. So it's the ROI. And this is, I said, I'm glad you asked this, because there's a huge difference between marketing and sales.
Right.
Sales is the money. Marketing is the leads that get you to the money. And the point there is that realizing your marketing is the thing that, it's not, quite frankly, like, the marketer's job is not to get you sales. The marketer's job is to get you those phone calls, to get traffic to your website where people may buy things. But then there's all these other things that happen that have nothing to do with the marketer. In that case, web marketing doesn't have a piece of this. So for example, I was once working with somebody and we were trying to do some Facebook ads. And I looked at their website. So sending people to website to buy like a skincare product. The website was terrible, absolutely terrible. And I asked him about it, tried being very nice about it, but I was like, mm-hmm. this is a very confusing site. The navigation is difficult. It's not clear. It was a direct sales thing. So it wasn't quite clear how he would get credited for it. And the answer is those are all real problems he's already told the company about and he can't do anything about because he doesn't control the website. And my mm-hmm. response was actually, okay, let's not send traffic to the website. Because right. that's not going to help you. Those are not going to be leads that are helpful. So instead, we decided to either have people message him on Facebook or collect email addresses and he could email them and go from there. And even in that case, then it's your sales process. It's how does he do as a salesman having those conversations? If a website is good, if you're sending someone to a website, it can also be, so we just mentioned a couple of the possible problems with it. If it's mm-hmm. hard to navigate, quite frankly, if it's outdated and unattractive, a lot of people kind of lose trust. They're like, oh, this looks really old. Do I want to, and subconsciously, it's not conscious, but do I want to work with this person? The website looks like it's 12 years old. Mm-hmm. And I've seen those websites.
Yeah.
But otherwise, if it goes to a salesperson or a sales team, how does that person do? You know, are they good at making a sale through Messenger, which is very different than making a sale if you're standing in front of somebody? The other one I remember seeing was, I had a client, we drove a lot of traffic to their site and they had a beautiful site. They had just redone their site. They had really good copy on their site. They had a copywriter who came up with everything that it said the right thing. We drove almost 40% of their website traffic to them, which is really big. That person was also in the beauty industry. Average is about 15 or 20%. Yeah. So we were giving them a lot of traffic and they weren't making a whole lot of sales off social. And the only reason I can come to is it might be the price. It was kind of a higher end product. Maybe people weren't willing to buy it. Or we had done a lot of research, like I said, with the copywriter. A big concern of people was, will I like the way this smells, you know, lotion or candle? Number one thing is, how does it smell? Can't smell anything on a website. Maybe we didn't have enough information or testimonials or something else that makes people comfortable buying something they can't smell. None of that has to do with the social media, right?
Yeah.
I can't control that. That's not part of what is done from this piece. So it's all just knowing that. So the ROI is, how much traffic are we driving to the website? How many people are seeing the posts and how much traffic are we driving to the website? It's different than how many sales are being made.
Exactly.
Obviously, you want that piece. Yeah. And we want to help you get there. But in terms of your question, the ROI is not sales. The ROI is reach and traffic.
Right, right. Because conversion, as you explained, is dependent on so many factors that even if you bring the right audience, the exact people they want to sell, but if the person who's picking up the phone is not able to communicate well, then there is a high probability that most of those callers will not decide to go ahead and place an order.
Right. And that's a different thing to fix. It's fixable.
Right.
But you've got to watch where the issue is.
Is, exactly. Yeah. So that touches actually various points. It's the goal setting. What is the goal for the social media? And do you want like number of followers, number of views, number of likes, all those things come into play. And then when those people are coming, what is happening from the business owner point of view and analytics that, okay, if they are on the website, are they dropping on the homepage? Are they, even if they navigate, they go to the product side, it's like, they don't know how to order. It's like too confusing, or it's something that basically drives in a way that people say, oh, I don't want to place an order.
Right. So, another one I've heard come up there is either delivery rules and costs. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, we live in a world where we're so used to free shipping. Small businesses often can't do that. So how do they, you know, work around that? Or return policy is another one. Again, really hard for small businesses to have what we all consider a super duper return policy from places like Amazon and Zappos. You know, everything's free and everything's returnable and everything, they'll do shipping both ways and all that stuff. It's very, very hard for a small business. So like working around that is very different than how many people are going to the website.
Right.
It's a marketing piece.
Exactly. Exactly. And there are various variables, right? Whatever we are doing, depending on the market we are trying to address, we are working for a profit or for-profit organization or a non-profit organization, what kind of customers we are trying to target. So what are the variables that sort of you focus on, or how do you sort of guide the business owner so that, okay, hey, in order to achieve these goals, let's focus on to begin with, like, you know, widen the net or be very specialized. So what is the thought process? How do you help business owners? Because it could be very wide and say, okay, I want to do social media. I want like my, you know, Facebook reach, or I want like LinkedIn to grow, like, but then it is just a very wide statement. So how do you narrow down and say that, okay, hey, let's take these steps and let's focus on these variables, and that will lead us to where we want to go.
Right. So I think the key one there is really just always, who are you trying to reach and what do you want them to do? Because that makes the very big difference. So I remember having a conversation with someone who has a band. They, you know, play weekends. He has a regular job, but he also has a band. And he's like, yeah, the venues where we play want to see that we have like a million followers on Instagram. And I'm like, I don't think they do, because they do want to see you have followers and a big following on Instagram. But what they really want is people to come in the bar, right? They want someone who, you know, is coming to see you perform, who buys a drink,
right?
Or buys food if it's a restaurant. So it doesn't really matter. So I live in a town of about 100,000 people. It's next to two other towns that are roughly 100,000 people. Saying you want a million followers is kind of crazy, right? Like, who's going to show up at the bar? The people in those towns. That's it.
Yeah.
That's kind of your maximum in most cases for a small town band, right? So it's really gauging who are you trying to reach. And that one, again, just local.
Yep.
I can get them 10,000 followers in the Philippines in 10 minutes. But those people are never going to walk in the bar.
Yeah.
And there's a whole problem with doing stuff like that. Totally separately with the system, the technical stuff with it. They absolutely hate that. Don't ever do that. But it does really come down to who you're trying to reach. So for example, I was on the phone with someone the other day who has a product, and they say the thing that is very difficult for marketers to handle. They're like, this can serve everybody, every kind of business and a whole bunch of kinds of individuals. I'm like, okay, I can't market to them. Like, that doesn't ever work. So let's try to find some subsets of what are, you know, to start with is all it really is. It's the who are going to be the most likely kinds of businesses to do this. And what we came up with was trades, service providers, like small mom and pop type painters, plumbers, electricians, hairstylists. One of his clients was a piano teacher. Let's start there. And because then you can talk to those people and their needs and their concerns. And at some point later, you can say, hey, you know what else? We can use this platform for planning your family picnic. And that was an example. But that's a totally different kind of audience, right? Like, you need to talk to who you want to reach, and you need to be as specific as possible. So they think, oh, you're talking to me. You know, that, all right, now I'm listening because you're saying something that's relevant to me. No one, you know, if there were 10 people here and I said, who answers, hey, is anybody a human? People would be like, what kind of question is that? But if you said, hey, am I a business owner? Oh, okay, some hands go up. Hey, am I a female business owner? Okay, the women's hands goes up. Am I a woman who owns a health or wellness business, coaching practice? That's going to be a more specific group, right?
Right.
And you want to be doing that as much as possible, just narrowing down on who you're trying to talk to.
Yeah, and again, it comes down to awareness and understanding. And I guess that's where a professional like you come into play, because at times from the business owner point of view, if you ask, okay, whom do you want to target? Some people feel, okay, I want like lots of clients, so anybody can come and I'll be happy to serve anyone. And that's kind of, you know, the brain is saying, hey, I just want growth, without realizing that it will be much easier to specialize or to focus and deliver where it's a best fit. And then later on, it can expand horizontally or vertically. But to begin with, it has to be discussed, like, what is it best suited for?
Right. And what you market to does not have to be who you serve, actually. So you can still serve anybody and everybody that you think you can serve, but marketing is a little bit different. So I know someone who helps, and her clients are rockstar direct sales moms. Like, moms who want to turn their direct sales business into a full-time job and have a team and maybe build an empire. So one of the big questions she gets is, do you help rockstar direct sales dads or guys?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, of course she does.
Yeah.
Like, no problem.
Right.
But she markets to moms. That's just, and that is the bulk of who she serves, but it doesn't mean you don't serve somebody else. She also works with people who are earlier on in their direct sales business. You know, they may not be the rock star yet.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. You know, yes, she can still help them, but you market to the more specific, almost to the point of it seems silly. Think about it. Almost anything that you think of as a category, there's still hundreds of thousands of them, you know, and depending on your range, like regionally. So for example, a plumber doesn't want to have a plumber here in the Bay Area doesn't necessarily want to have followers or clients in Texas. That doesn't help them. They're not serving Texas. But and like I said, the band and the local bar, a little bit different. Yeah. But and that's the point, is that you have to look at who you're trying to serve, not what you want to do yourself. And not what, sometimes it's not what's your gripe yourself. It often happens. Like, I don't want to work with so-and-so. Okay, that's fine. Don't work with so-and-so. But what do you want? And what do then that person want?
Yeah. And it is also dependent on not only the people that we are serving, but also if we can market to different other, like different businesses who potentially are working directly with your sort of market. So in other words, if there are like, they can almost become power partner type of a scenario or, you know, commission based or whatever the relationship develops. But if I have a product or service that can be used by clients of other businesses, it makes sense for me to market to those businesses.
Right. Absolutely. So I have a client that kind of ends up doing that a lot. They are a nonprofit, and a big piece of what they market for is their partners. And so a lot of times what we are sharing is things that the partners are doing or things that the partners offer to other partners or agencies, in their case, like public agencies, cities and counties and such. And it isn't a, hey, come sign up for this service. It's a, who do you know who needs this service? So for example, one of them is like anti-smoking, people trying to quit smoking. And it's not even a question of like, do you need to quit smoking? It's, do you know anybody who wants to quit smoking? Here's something that can help them. So it is, it's using your audience as, like you said, power partners, as referral partners, as, you know, and it's collaborating to provide another service. And that's another one that is a really big piece of what you can do in marketing, especially, I think I said, I work with a lot of nonprofits on the nonprofit side, because like, if I like this nonprofit and I share that with my friends, guess what? Sometimes those friends will also like and support that nonprofit and will come to their events or buy from them or donate to them. Cause that's often a big piece of what you're trying to do. Right.
Fundraising. Yep.
So I become the power partner just because I invited my friends to the thing and now they support that thing, that place.
True.
I did it last night. I invited a bunch of friends to a nonprofit. Guess what? They all bought a ticket. Okay. Nonprofit gets donations from people who've never heard of it before.
Yeah. It's a huge piece to sort of grow by building relationships.
Exactly. And that's it, is that people think of relationships as only, you can only develop them in person, face to face. And that is, I'm not going to argue that that's not the best way. It probably is. But at some point you hit a capacity, right? You can only have one-on-one conversations or have coffee or go to so many, you know, with so many people or go to so many chamber events before you like are exhausted beyond belief. That's usually me. But social gives you the opportunity to build relationships with potentially hundreds of people at one time, that they can get to learn the things that they might learn if they met you face to face. But you can do that with hundreds of people, thousands of people at one time versus one at a time. You can only do so much one at a time. I think that's a big piece a lot of people miss, is they don't think of social as, which is funny because it's called social. They don't think of social as a way to build relationships, but that's very much what I'm doing. When you asked before, like, well, how do you come up with a strategy? It's how do we build the relationships with the right people who we can help? That's really most of what you're doing in social, and everything you do, everything you're posting, every way that you're doing it is about supporting that.
Exactly. So if you are speaking, say there's a situation you're talking to a group of business owners and they want to get your marketing advice, what will you say to them?
So I think one of the things that, I mean, the big one right now, and it is because it's about building relationships. And I think we've gotten that a lot more since being in COVID, you know, I got 2 years of behind a screen more than we really ever did before.
Yeah.
Is be yourself. Because I think a lot of times we're thinking as the business of like, here, and how many times have you gone to like a networking event? Someone hands you a card. I don't want your card. I want to know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, no, what? Tell me your name first. Let's start there. Tell me, like, I never walk up and here's what I do. Hey, what are you drinking? It's, you know, did you see so-and-so or whatever? You know, be a person, be yourself. And that's really important because you want, like we said, what you're doing is trying to get people to, and this is online and offline, right? People to understand what you do, to know you, to trust you, that you're an expert and you're good at what you do, or you have a good product and that they just like you. So be yourself because you want to be that person that they want to like. Give them what they might have in common with you, whether that's, so the extreme example I always go to here, because when you're talking about social and posts, you're talking about writing, mm-hmm. is to some extent language. Mm-hmm. So one of them is, do you curse? You know, if you naturally do it, that's just the way you are in real life. Yes, do that in your marketing, because what you don't want is someone following your marketing thinking, okay, this is a nice person. I like this person. And then meeting you and you're dropping F-bombs every 3 seconds and it's a disconnect, right? Mm-hmm. And suddenly you don't trust this. Wait, this is not the person who I was reading from or seeing about before. And again, that's a little bit more of an extreme example. But it is the just be you, because then you have ways to connect with people. Someone I saw the other day, someone I follow on social, and she lives in Kentucky. She was up at, I'm blanking on the name, one of the wineries in Napa mm-hmm. that I've been to that I really like. And so I said something, you replied. I'm like, oh, you're in my hood. Mm-hmm. She's like, what? You live near here? Yes, I do. Because we can connect over the fact that we both like wine, right? Very simple. But right. It's just personal enough. It's being who you are. She was up on the weekend with her husband going wine tasting in Napa. That's something she likes doing. And it's something that me as an audience person connected with. That's what you want to do.
Yeah. And that helps creating your
notice brand. That was not about, sorry to interrupt you. Notice that had nothing to do with business.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with what she does. It doesn't have to do with her offer, what she sells. It's not her trying to sell me. It's not saying what she, and it wasn't, nowhere in there was anything about how she can help people.
Yes. So I think from a social media point of view, you help business owners build their own, you know, brands, and that allows them to differentiate that, okay, this is who I am, this is what I believe in, this is what I offer, and that results into like the like-minded people who are like that connect better.
Right, exactly. So going back to the profanity example, I remember at some point I was briefly following someone on Instagram who would use profanity, and she was a mm-hmm. young coach. She was, I think, in her 20s. And that doesn't attract me. Like I said, I used to follow her. I actually stopped. I'm like, I'm never going to be coaching with you. It kind of bothers me how much you curse. Mm-hmm. I'm not your people. And that's okay. It's 100% okay to find who is not your people, because it lets you focus on the people who are. There's going to be a lot of people who are like, yes, this girl is real. This girl speaks my language. This girl, like, I can have a conversation with her because that's the way I talk to, because that's the way I think. Great. Do that.
Very good. A lot of good information, Deborah. And final question, if one has to contact you, what is the best way to reach you?
So you might be surprised to find you can find me on social media. So you could find Finestone Marketing Solutions on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Those are also the platforms I work for on my clients. And my website is dfinestone.com, if you prefer that. And one thing that you'll find there, but you can also find it separately, is I have a free downloadable gift that I offer to people if you want to know more. And in this case, what it addresses is what is probably the most common question or concern I hear from people on social media, but I don't know what to post. You know, what do I say if I'm supposed to be out there 2, 3, 5 times a week? Or some people think 5 times a day, you don't need to do that. And especially if you don't want to feel salesy, again, it's that, you know, sometimes people are the best kept secret because they don't want to seem pushy about what mm-hmm. they are, and they don't want to be bragging. This is a list of more than 20 ways to be talking about you and what you do, what to say that helps people get to know you, generally without really ever being salesy, without talking. Some of it's about business, because yes, let's tell people what we do, but it's how to balance that. And so where can they find the link for that?
So you already mentioned your website, right?
Yep.
And this show will also be posted on the businessbythebay.live website. So listeners will be able to go and sort of from there reach out. And what you just mentioned, there seems to be a a great gift for some of the business owners who are kind of struggling to see what to say, and that will give them good information. So thanks a lot. Yeah, so thank you so much, Deborah, for your time today and sharing your passion.
My pleasure. I really enjoyed it. I hope people find it helpful.
So listeners, thank you for joining us on Business by the Bay today. The show was brought to you by Payroll Vault. We hope that you enjoyed the show, and you can find the recording of this show on our website, businessbythebay.life. Please feel free to contact us in case you have any questions. You may also send us an email at info@businessbythebay.life. Take care and have a great weekend.
Business by the Bay with your host, Ajay Sani. Join us next time as we discuss challenges businesses face and possible solutions.